great honor that I was given an opportunity to present our work here in the 136th annual meeting of the APHA. My presentation will focus My presentation will focus on the lessons learned by comparing the surveillance systems to detect H5N1 human cases among different Asian countries by multi-country on-site assessment. Next, please. I certify that there is no commercial conflict of interest. Although different opinions exist, if the H5N1 will be the next human pandemic strain, future novel influenza pandemic is considered inevitable. Effective surveillance system, especially in countries with confirmed H5N1 human cases, is vital for early detection of the pandemic. While international surveillance guideline exists, actual operation of the surveillance of H5N1 human cases in those countries have not been well documented. Therefore, a multi-country assessment was conducted in order to identify good practices and the common barriers for which international assistances are needed to overcome among H5N1 human cases surveillance of different Asian countries. This assessment intended to provide feedback to each system for rational policy directions and strengthening for surveillance with necessary international assistances. Subjects and methods. The site of the assessment included 7 countries, namely Indonesia, Vietnam, Myanmar, Pakistan, Laos PDR, Cambodia, and Japan. The assessment applied 2 data collection methods. Firstly, published protocols, guidelines, and policy documents were reviewed and analyzed. Secondly, key informant interviews were conducted on public health officials, both central and local, regarding implementation of the surveillance. The assessment focused on 6 major aspects of the H5N1 human cases surveillance, namely definition of reportable condition, reporting mechanisms, reporting sensitivities, specimens collection and shipment, laboratory testing, and responses to confirmed H5N1 human cases. This table outlines the epidemiological aspect of the H5N1 human cases surveillance in different countries. The first column shows the name of country, and the second, the time of the study conducted. The third column depicts the definitions of reportable conditions in different countries. I just see most of the countries adapted the WHO case definition of H5N1 suspected human cases. Japan and Vietnam somehow applied a slightly different definition, although the Japanese definition is almost concordant with the WHO definition, except that it includes the type A confirmation by rapid test at health facilities. In contrast, Vietnam was applying a very unique criteria, including atypical pneumonia by X-ray, rapidly progressing pneumonia, and white blood cell count under 3,000 per cubic millimeters. Mechanism to detect suspected H5N1 human cases, as shown in the 4th column here, varied widely from country to country. However, 2 major case detection mechanisms were most prevalent. First, active searches around poultry outbreaks of suspected human cases is highlighted by red letters. And second, routine reporting from all health facilities as highlighted by blue letters here. The 3 rightmost columns show numbers of reported suspected H5N1 human cases per year, number of reported suspected cases per 100,000 population, and the number of confirmed H5N1 cases. Countries applying the combination of the 2 major case detection methods, such as Indonesia, Laos PDR, and Vietnam, generally maintained a high reporting rate of suspected H5N1 human cases per population. Cambodia, as displayed here, was maintaining a very high reporting rate by applying an event-based reporting system using cellular phone short message service or SMS. The messages were automatically fed into a computer database. A similar system was also pilot tested in the central part of Indonesia. Myanmar was applying a community-based cluster reporting system, but the reporting rate was minimal at the time of the study. Vietnam was also pilot testing a community-based cluster reporting, but was facing a problem of the increased cost. Just for your reference, the slide shows the WHO definition of suspected H5N1 human cases. Major components are high fever, severe respiratory illness, and exposure to either confirmed human case, sick or dead poultries, and poultry meat in areas where H5N1 infections among poultries have been suspected or confirmed. This slide lists up four other notable findings regarding the epidemiological surveillance. First, assessing the status of the national tabulation and registration of suspected H5N1 human cases, Japan and Indonesia did not tabulate or register them at the national level, but they rather tabulated and registered only confirmed H5N1 human cases. Low PDR maintained no national database. Lack of formation of the national database of all suspected H5N1 human cases will make it difficult for these countries to monitor the performance of the surveillance, such as sensitivity, timeliness, and completeness across different provinces within the countries. Second, looking at the relation with pre-existing influenza-like illness or ILI surveillance, the ILI surveillance coexisted with the suspected H5N1 human cases surveillance in all countries. The former often provided additional specimens tested for H5. Third, with regard to the collaboration between health and livestock authorities in surveillance, different countries adopted different forms of collaboration. Vietnam, for example, adopted a joint national plan of action stipulated by both Minister of Health and Minister of Agriculture and Rural Development. In Lao PDR, a national umbrella committee bonded the two ministries tightly at national level, whereas at local levels, the coordination was not as easy. In Cambodia, the disaster management team was expected to play such an umbrella role, but the office in charge of disease control was skeptical of its capacity of coordination. The most practical coordination prototype was observed in the integrated surveillance between poultry and humans that was pilot tested in central Indonesia, in which district surveillance officers played a key role. Lastly, regarding the data feedback and dissemination, whereas all countries were reporting the test results swiftly from lab to both public health authorities and health facilities from which the cases were reported, no country disseminated any tabulated surveillance bulletin of the H5N1 human cases surveillance to any health offices at the lower administrative levels. It was a sharp contrast with the effective dissemination of the results of acute flaccid paresis surveillance that intends to confirm polio eradication status and those of measles surveillance in all countries assessed. The slide depicts the specimens collection and lab testing for suspected H5N1 human cases and case response to confirmed H5N1 human cases. The third column here shows the mechanisms of specimens collection from suspected H5N1 human cases. Specimens were primarily collected from all reported suspected H5N1 human cases and in all countries. In addition, ILI, as mentioned, ILI Sentinel surveillance provided an additional route to systematically collect respiratory specimens from severe respiratory infection patients in 4 out of 7 countries. The fourth and the fifth columns show the laboratory testing and network. Among the countries studied, only Myanmar and Pakistan were depending on regional laboratory in conducting subtyping. In other words, the identification of H5 antigen. Different countries envisaged either small or large number of laboratories in the national laboratory network, ranging from 0 for Myanmar and Pakistan to surprisingly 44 planned in Indonesia. The last column show how countries are dealing with the close contacts of confirmed H5N1 human cases. only Vietnam was applying household quarantine for those contacts of confirmed H5N1 human cases. The country also applied area blockade in some instances, even for a single confirmed case. Setup of an isolation place was mandated to each district, contact isolation, and as preparedness for a pandemic. All countries were putting them under fever monitoring and provided prophylactic antiviral drug for 1 to 2 weeks. Japan was planning to advise household quarantine of close contacts after pandemic phase 4 with domestic case incidents. Aside from the contact tracing explained in the previous slide, all countries were applying the following case response activities in case H5N1 human cases were confirmed. First, the patients were transported to health facilities and isolated. Second, additional human cases were searched for within the same community as the confirmed H5N1 human cases. Third, residents in the community where the cases were isolated were provided health education, mainly on personal hygiene, in particular the avoidance of contact with sick and dead poultries. Fourth, poultry cases in the same community were searched for and specimens are collected from them. Fourth, poultries in the communities were culled in case H5N1 virus was isolated from them. Culling was reported to be incomplete in response to some confirmed human cases in some countries. Lastly, the area, especially the poultry raising areas, were disinfected. Last three actions regarding poultries above that are highlighted by green letters were conducted by Livestock Department in collaboration with local health authorities in all countries. Among the operational components of the surveillance in different countries, a couple of good practices emerged. First, good practices. First, the integrated surveillance of avian influenza pilot tested in Indonesia was considered a good prototype of combined form of human and poultry H5N1 surveillances. On the human side, district health officers investigated human incidents around the reported poultry outbreaks, as well as conducted active surveillance by visiting health facilities. On the poultry side, district surveillance officers visited villages regularly to pick up poultry events in previous 6 weeks. In case either human or poultry H5N1 cases were confirmed, both health and livestock departments responded jointly, if not in a perfect harmony. Second, cellular phone short message service was used effectively in above integrated surveillance in Indonesia and nationwide in Cambodia. In both countries, a software computer software template that feeds in the short messages directly into computer databases was utilized. Third, in all countries assessed, rapid response teams and their and procedures were predetermined in order to respond to the emergence of any H5N1 human case. In almost all countries, the composition of the team and their mandates were stipulated by policy documents, such as minister decision or ministerial circular. In some countries, the members of the team was not predetermined, but rather decided on an ad hoc basis. Lastly, in Pakistan, human respiratory specimens for H5 testing were transported by using the existing reverse cold chain system for stool collections to confirm polio at the national laboratory. This polio eradication program was very intensely financed, we thought it is a practical economic solution. Common barriers and their synthesis needs. First, no country was set performance indicators of H5N1 human cases surveillance with regard to reporting sensitivity, timeliness, and completeness. Thus, no performance monitoring has been done on the basis of the national tabulation of these performance indicators for different provinces or districts, making performance management very difficult for national surveillance officers. Second, Epidemiological capacity for case response was a big issue, especially at provincial and district levels. Basic skills on outbreak investigation, to describe distribution of the disease across person, place, and time, was considered to be suboptimal by most national and provincial surveillance officers. Lastly, insufficient laboratory quality control, supply, and biosafety were common issues across the developing countries. It is especially a big worry in a country that envisaged a large number of laboratories to confirm H5 by PCR within the country. Here are some discussions. Firstly, given the large diversity in the H5N1 human cases surveillance, knowledge sharing and mutual learning and multi-country leadership essential for optimizing surveillance in each country. I think I will skip to the conclusion now. The first point is the same, and the second and third point I will skip, and fourth, setting too many laboratories in a country as envisaged by Indonesia might, sorry. The fourth point is that, despite such a huge diversity across different countries, in Asia, H5N1 human cases surveillance was generally functioning as information for action to trigger a series of concrete responses in case H5N1 human cases were confirmed. Lastly, cross-cutting barriers were observed in performance monitoring of epidemiological surveillance of H5N1 human cases, epidemiological capacity for case response, and insufficient laboratory quality control, supply, and biosafety. Thank you very much for your kind attention.